Throughout his gospel, John sets before us the Lord Jesus Christ in his divinity as the Son of God. And the divine nature of Christ comes forth in every passage and every chapter in the gospel. His oneness with God the Father, how he is one with the Father and one with the Spirit, is clearly set before us. He is in the Father and the Father is in him, and they are one. In John chapter 14, we read these words as he comforts the disciples regarding the fact that one day soon he will depart to go with his Father. He says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, what a passage of comfort this is to the disciples and to us as believers. No matter what may come upon us in this world, no matter what trouble and persecution may come our way, and no matter what people may say or do unto our Lord, unto Jesus Christ, no matter that they took Christ and they crucified him, they slew the Son of Glory, they took the Son of God and led him away to be crucified, no matter that the disciples here saw their Lord betrayed, persecuted, and slain, even so, Christ could say unto them, and he says unto us today, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He gives them this great comfort that the way that he goes, the way of sacrifice, the fact that he must be betrayed, and he must be slain, and he must die in the place of sinners as a sacrifice for their sin, in order to deliver them from their sin, in order to wash them clean in his blood, in order to lead them unto his Father as reconciled, as justified, as those who are washed and cleansed and made righteous, in order that they can come into the presence of God. No matter that he must go this way, it has an end. It has a purpose. None of these things that came upon Christ were outside of his control, or outside of his knowledge, or outside of the will and the purpose of God. All must come to pass in order that he might deliver his people from their sins, in order that he might gather them in as one company, and in order that in the end he might go and lead them unto the Father, and lead them into that eternal glory and inheritance of the saints. So he says unto the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Christ went unto his Father, having died, having risen again. When he ascended, he headed to his Father to sit down in glory to prepare a place for his people. And in preparing that place, he would return for them and lead them in victorious into the presence of his Father for eternity. What a hope is presented to the believer here. What an end is in sight. They haven't lost Christ. They're not about to lose Christ. He's going to prepare a place for them. And he's going that way, through death, through the cross, which will bring them safely into that destination. Because to deliver his people from their sins, he must take their sins away. He must die in their place. He must bear their sins. He must be judged by Almighty God as a sacrifice. But the consequence of it, the result of it, is glory, is a great inheritance and a great hope for his people. And what a hope there is for us as believers to behold and to look for that by faith, and to see the day approach when we too will follow Christ into this place, when we too will be set around his throne, when we too will enter those mansions prepared for his people. Oh, how we rejoice with those who've gone to be with Christ. How we rejoice with those past saints who've suffered in this world with Christ and for his name, but who are now seated in glory, all their pain and their suffering taken away, all their travail over. And there they are, sat around the throne of the Lamb of God, casting their crowns at his feet and rejoicing in his glory, in his mercy, in his grace and salvation forevermore. There are no more tears upon their face. There is no more illness. There is no more suffering. There is no more persecution. They're in eternal glory. How we rejoice with those in our day who enter into this glory. Just this past week we've heard of those saints who've entered. We heard of Henry Mahan, that preacher of the gospel, and how he has reached that destination for which he longed. And how others like him, who love Christ, who've been taught of Christ, who know that Christ is all, are now there with Christ, having Christ as their all. In this world, the believer knows, as Christ says here, He knows that Christ is all. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Ye know that I'm going to my Father. You know the destination. And you know, if you know me, that the Father dwells in me and I dwell in the Father. And I am your hope of salvation. Christ is all. And if in this world we know that, if we know that he's our all, if we know that he's all sufficient, that he's all our sufficiency, that we have no need of anything but Christ, then how our faith will be strengthened to stand in an evil day, to stand in the darkness, to stand when persecution and trouble comes our way. How we can stand because Christ is our all. As long as we have Christ, we will rejoice. As Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Then believer, can you say that with Paul? Is your life about being in Christ? Is he your all? Can you say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? I would love to be with him. I long to be with him. But whilst he has me here in this world, whilst I journey through this world of bitterness and darkness, this world of suffering, I rejoice because Christ is my all. Oh, what a hope to have. And what a confidence in Christ to be given. And that confidence comes from these words of Christ in this chapter. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way? Where has Christ gone? Jesus saith unto him and unto us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is all. What is the way? What is the way unto eternal life? What is the way which will bring happiness? What is the way in which we should go? Where should we head? How shall we know the way that leads unto the Father? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no salvation outside Jesus Christ. There is no life outside Jesus Christ. There is no truth outside of Jesus Christ. There is no way outside of Jesus Christ. There is, as we read in Proverbs, chapter 14 and chapter 16. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There are ways which seem right unto us. There are ways to go and ways to live and things to say and things to do which seem right unto us. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, there are many ways in which men go. There are many paths in which they walk. There are many ways in which you might live your life and ways in which you want to go. There are many things that seem right unto you and seem right unto me, and we live a certain way and we walk a certain way and we think this about this and we think that about that. And we're full of our own wisdom and full of our own confidence and full of our own strength, and we'll do these things our way and let no man stop us. We won't have anyone interfere with what we want to do and the way that we want to go. We want to choose. We want to decide. It's our life and we're going to live it. And anyone that advises us otherwise, and anyone that points us another way, oh, how they get in our way. And how the enmity arises in our heart against those who would stand in our path and advise us otherwise. But oh, how foolish we are. Because the ways that seem right unto us naturally, the ways that appeal unto our natural wisdom, our fallen, sinful wisdom, are ways which lead unto death. Jesus says, I am the way, and every other way but walking in Christ, but following him, but being in the way in Christ is a way that leads unto death. Everyone in this world that has ever lived in this world, that has ever been born in this world, who has gone another way but the way of Christ, has died and perished in their sins. Life is brief upon this planet, upon this globe, in this world in which you dwell. Life is brief. One moment you're born, the next moment you're passing from this world into the next. And if the way in which you have gone is not a way which follows Christ, is not the way, is not in Christ, then you will stand the other side of death, the other side of the grave, before Christ to answer for your decision, to answer for your way, to answer for the fact that you would not follow him, you would not hear him, you would not worship him, you would not serve him, you would not listen, you would go your own way, and here you are. Your life has gone. All that you did, all that you planned, all the energies you put into everything were but for a moment. And you did it as though you would live forever. And here you are. It's all gone. All you built up in this world, all gone. And you stand before Almighty God. And you stand before his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, why did you not believe in me? And why did you not walk in my way? And you will have no excuse. How foolish we are. Left to ourselves, that's what we do. No matter how many warnings we're given, no matter how much we know, no matter how much we may be warned of how foolish our ways are, we stubbornly reject the truth. We stubbornly reject Christ. We stubbornly go our own way. Because that way that we go is a way that seems right unto us. But the end thereof is death. In Matthew's Gospel, Christ speaks unto us of two ways. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There are two ways. There are simply two ways in this world in which you may go. Every day you are walking, you are taking steps through your life, and you are walking upon a certain way. And you are either on that narrow way, which leadeth unto life, or you are on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. There is no other way. You either enter in at a straight gate and walk along a narrow way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Or you go through a wide gate and upon a broad way, which leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many there be. There are many on that way. You will have much company if you go along this broad way. You will have many to pat you on the back and reassure you that all is well. We're all on this way. We can't all possibly be wrong, can we? The majority is always right, isn't it? Because there's more on this way. There are more of them. There are more of you. You must be right. We've all reasoned it out and we've all decided this is the right way to go. But God has made it plain from the beginning that though there are many on that way, and though it is broad, and though wide is the gate, and though it's easy to get on, and though it appeals to us, and though it seems right unto us, it leads unto destruction. But the way that leads unto life is entered via a straight and a narrow gate. And it's a narrow way. And few find it. But that way is Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How does one find this way? If there are many left to wander on a broad way, how are we brought to this straight gate and led along this narrow way? How are we brought to Christ? Well, Isaiah in chapter 30 tells us, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. This is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. There will be a voice behind you. And that voice is the voice of the Spirit of God who comes in the gospel and takes the word of Jesus Christ and speaks those words to those few that find this way. And he says, Christ is the way. This is the way. The gospel. The gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Christ is the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And whenever you're tempted to turn aside from Christ, to the right hand or to the left hand, whenever you're tempted to turn unto your own will and your own decisions, or your own works and your own glory, whenever you're tempted to turn to this wisdom of man and that wisdom of man, and this idea and that idea, whenever you're tempted to go after this error in religion or that error in religion, or introduce something of your wisdom or something of your will or something of your works or something of the reason of man, whenever you're tempted to go to the left hand or to the right hand, the Spirit of God in the gospel will come back to you and say unto you, this is the way, walk ye in it. I am the way, Jesus says, the truth and the life. Christ is all. He is the way. I am the way, the truth and the life, the truth. How are we brought upon this way? How does the Spirit of God, when he comes behind us in the gospel and says, this is the way, walk ye in it, how does he tell us the way? He tells us the way through the truth. Jesus is the way and the truth. You will not be on the way or know the way if you follow lies. If you follow the lies of men in the world, if you follow the lies of man's wisdom, if you follow the lies of rejecting the gospel and rejecting God and his truth, you will not be in the way. Because you've gone after lies and not the truth. There is only one truth. It is objective truth. It is absolute truth, because that is what truth is. The ridiculous ideas made today by various people that this is truth for me and this is my truth and that's your truth and truth is subjective and we've all got our ideas of what is right or wrong, even though they're all completely contradictory, is a lie in itself. There are not many truths and personal truths and subjective truths. There is truth. There is a God. There is one God. That God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He created all living creatures, you and I included. He breathed life into man. And he put man in a garden and gave him all things to eat and rejoice in, and gave him but one command: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man disobeyed and turned from his maker and ate and went his own way. And in doing so, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And that's the state that you and I are in by nature. And that's the truth. And God knew this would happen when he created man upon the face of the earth. So immediately when Adam and Eve had sinned and tried to hide their sin and tried to cover it with fig leaves and tried to hide under their own self-righteousness, God found them naked and clothed them with the skins of animals. He sacrificed, he shed blood and clothed them in order to preach the gospel unto them and to say, you need to be cleansed of your sin. If you're to live and not die, you must be washed clean of your sin. And you can only be washed clean if someone else pays the price of your sin in your place. If a sacrifice is offered, if blood is shed, then I will receive the sacrifice. Then I will clothe you in the blood of the sacrifice. Then I will clothe you in righteousness, and I will bring you in before me. He preached the gospel unto them at the beginning. And he preached it. In truth, he did that for them in particular. He clothed those two people in particular. And he does that for his own throughout all time. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world as a sacrifice for sinners. He slew him. He put their sin upon him and slew him and judged their sin in him. And he took his blood, and he takes that blood in the gospel and washes individuals in that blood, a particular people chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, chosen before the world was created, chosen before Adam sinned in the garden, chosen before you or I sinned. God chose a people, and he takes the blood of Christ and washes that people in that blood, because Christ died for that people in particular. He came into this world of sin and darkness and laid down his life for them in particular, in order that he might lead them unto the Father and lead them into those mansions prepared for them. This is the truth of the gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Christ says. No man cometh to the Father except by me. There's no salvation but that we come this way in Jesus Christ, and that we believe this truth as it is in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. All that he is, all that he's done, all that is said of him, all that is true of him is the truth. All that he said, all that he says, all that he preaches in his gospel is the truth. I am the truth. There is no truth outside of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. In the beginning of John's gospel, we read that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1 tells us that John bare witness of him and cried, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I am the truth. How will you be saved? How will you be brought upon this way? Not by the law. Not by your attempts to keep the law or live a righteous life before God. God sent the law by Moses to show us that we're sinners, to condemn us. There was no salvation by man's keeping of the law. But having shown man that he's a sinner and that he's condemned and that he cannot live aright before God, God sent his Son, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And God showed his grace and said, "I will wash you clean. I will make you righteous. The righteousness you strove to produce under the law, trying to do what it demanded and failing, the righteousness you lack, I will give you through my Son and through his blood. And I will give it to you freely by grace. For salvation is by grace and not by works. Through faith. And even the faith is a gift of God given unto us graciously, that we might hear the gospel, hear the truth, and believe the truth. All is of God from start to finish. I am the way, Christ says. I am the truth and I am the life. Then all is in him, and all that is in him is to be given unto us freely by grace. It cannot be obtained any other way. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But when the Spirit of God comes behind us and we hear a word behind us saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," God leads us under Christ and leads us in the gospel and speaks and declares his truth unto us in order that we might believe. He is the truth. Anything outside of Christ is a lie. And it comes from the father of lies, the devil. Oh, what a contrast there is between the speech of Jesus Christ, which is all true, and the speech of the devil, which is all lies. He came along to Adam and Eve in the garden before they fell, when God had commanded Eve and said that the day that ye eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall surely die. And the devil came along and cast doubt upon God's word. "Ye shall not surely die. Hath God said?" he asked. He cast doubt upon the truth. He insinuated that God isn't true, that God's word isn't true, that God's speech isn't true, and that Christ isn't true. And he does the same today. He will come unto you every day, and his sole mission is to come unto you and whisper in your ear and say, "Has God said? Is Christ what he says he is?" Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the devil says, "No, he isn't. Surely he can't be. Surely there are other ways unto salvation. There are other ways unto God. Surely there are other gods and there are other truths. Surely there is another way unto life." And he'll lead you astray with his insinuations and the unbelief he stirs up in your heart. He's the father of lies. And if you step outside of the gospel and step outside of Christ and listen to any of the devil's whisperings, all you'll find is death. There's darkness, there's evil, and there's death in the whisperings of the devil. who comes unto us and says there's another way. And there's a way that seems right unto us because we hear him and we think we'll be all right if we go this way. We'll be all right if we ignore the gospel. We'll be all right if we believe this or believe that. But the ways thereof are death. There is no truth outside of Christ. None whatsoever. Christ says in John chapter 8 verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who shall know the truth? His disciples, believers, those whom the Spirit declares the truth unto, those whom God reveals the truth unto. They shall know the truth. Everyone else knows the lie of Satan, the lie of the devil. They reject the truth. But he says unto his disciples, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." To know Christ is to know the truth. And to know the truth is to know Christ. How may I know Christ? By knowing the truth. And how may I know the truth? By knowing Christ. You say, well, how do I know Christ? How can I hear his voice? How can I know that I have believed on Christ? If God has shown you the truth, if God has revealed the true gospel to you and shown you the lies of men's gospel, the lies of free will, the lies of salvation by works, if God has shown you free and sovereign grace in Jesus Christ, if he's revealed Christ unto you as the only Saviour of sinners and the only way unto God, then he's revealed Christ unto you. Then you know Christ because you know the truth. But if you reject the truth, if you cast doubt on the gospel, if you say, well, surely God wants all men to be saved, not just the elect, not just some. Surely God loves all men and desires the salvation of all, not just his people. If you're taken in by the insinuations of religion and the doubts cast upon the truth by false religion, then you will be led astray from the truth and you won't know the truth and you will reject the truth. These ideas that Christ died for all men and desires all men to be saved if they but will, which puts their salvation entirely upon their decision, their will and their sovereign desire to serve God or not, which puts man upon a throne and God grovelling in the gutter, pleading with man to do his will. If that's your idea of salvation or the gospel, then you've been whispered to by the father of lies, who has said unto you of the gospel, "Has God said?" And you do not know Christ, for you do not know the truth. But if you do know the truth, if you've been brought to see that that's a lie, that that false gospel is not a gospel, that it leads unto death, and you've been brought to see that God sent his son to save his people from their sins, that he died for the sheep and not the goats, that he laid down his life for the elect, and everyone for whom he died will hear the gospel and will believe the gospel and will be saved. If you've been brought to know that, then you've been brought to hear the truth and know the truth and believe the truth. And if you know the truth and believe the truth, you know Christ and you believe Christ. To know Christ is to know the truth, and to know the truth is to know Christ. For he saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." How are we brought to know the truth? Christ says in John chapter 14, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. How are we brought to know the truth? Because God sends unto his own the Spirit of truth to declare unto his people Christ and make him known unto them. The world cannot receive this Spirit. They cannot receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, because they don't see him and they don't know him. But God's people know him, and he dwells in them, and he's in them, and he speaks unto them of Christ. In this very passage, we see there's a contrast between those who believe and those who don't, those who receive and those who don't. God sends the Spirit of truth under his own, and it's he who makes known Christ. Has he sent the Spirit unto you with the gospel? Has he spoken unto you? Has the Spirit come and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world"? Has he said unto you, "Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him"? Has he said that unto you? Has he said unto you, "Christ is all"? Christ is all. Jesus saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The life. Outside of Christ, there is nothing but death. Nothing but death. Whatever people may say regarding their natural life in this world, this is life, this is living, this is what life's all about, it's but for a moment. They are dying. That's not life. The sentence of death is written all over it. It's a brief moment that God graciously grants in order that his people might in their lifetime in this world be brought to hear the gospel. And the wicked get in on that lifetime. They also have their 70 years or so, or whatever it might be for the individual. And they in that time use those days, use those years to go their own way, heaping up destruction upon their back. But the children of God are brought in that brief time to hear the one who is life. They're brought to receive eternal life, everlasting life. They're brought to know Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. They're delivered from the darkness, delivered from death, delivered from the sin which reigns in their natural bodies, delivered from all their enemies. And they see that that brief time in this world that they called life in this world was just a living death for a moment. And they've been delivered from it. Outside of Christ, there is nothing but death. John chapter 3, verse 36. Jesus saith, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him." If you're outside of Christ, if you're not in his way, hearing his truth, believing his truth, knowing his life, if you're outside of him, then every step of your lifetime in this world is one in which you do not see life, not eternal life, not true life, and one in which the wrath of God abides on you. He is life, and he is the life. As John 1 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." There is no life but that which is in Jesus Christ. Will you live or will you die? Are you prepared for eternity? Where are you heading in eternity? Is there life set before you or death? In order that Christ should give his people life, in order that they should taste of that life which is found in him, he had to come as a man in this world and lay down his life that these dead people might live. The reason Jesus Christ came into this world, the reason he in John's gospel is stood there speaking unto these disciples and saying, let not your heart be troubled, the reason he was there at that hour is because he had to come as a man in this world and lay down his life. Lay down his life for his people. Lay down his life for the sheep. Lay down his life for sinners, in order that sinners might be delivered of their sin, delivered from death, delivered from judgment and the wrath of God which abides upon sinners, delivered from eternity, eternal wrath in hell, delivered in order that they should live. He came to bring them life and to give them life and to give it to them abundantly. He came to bring them righteousness. He came to take away their sin and blot it out and make them to be the righteousness of God in him. He came to save them. He laid down his life that his sheep might live. As he says in Matthew 20, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I am the way, the truth and the life. And the one who says I am the life gave his life in order that dead sinners like you and I should live. Then what do we do with this life? And what do we do with this truth? And what do we do with this way who is Jesus Christ? What do our hearts do with this? What do our hearts do with the message of this? Do we, like those who were there when Christ came into Jerusalem in that day and age, do we rage against him? Do we reject him? Do we say, away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us? Do we say, crucify him, crucify him? Do we take the Prince of Glory? Do we take the way and nail it to a tree with our hearts and our unbelief and our rejection of Christ and the gospel? Do we take the truth and nail it to a tree and slay it and trample it underfoot and say of it, has God said, and go another way and follow our lives? Do we take the life of God, and nail it to a tree and pierce him through and look as he dies and think that we've got rid of him? Do we take God in our hearts and try to destroy him and blot him out? Because we will not listen. We'll go our own way. We'll listen to our own things. We'll listen to our own lies. And we'll live what we think is life in this perishing, sinful world for a moment. Even though Christ in the gospel has stated the truth unto us plainly and said that no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way. There is no other way. I am the truth. There is no other truth. I am the life. There is no other life. O sinner, may God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, come unto you in the gospel and lift up Christ unto your gaze, that you may know him as your Saviour, that you may see him crucified in your place, that you may see blood shed for you. Oh, may you be amongst that people for whom he came, and not amongst that people on the broad way who would not hear. Oh, may you know he who is the truth, he who is the life, he who is the only way to the Father, he who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ is all. Amen.